Hi everyone, my name is Seal Smart, and I want to welcome you to the first SweatNet Strong Women's podcast, where we share the stories of amazing women living in our communities. Today on the show, we have Jen Dufresne, who is a top run coach in Charlotte, a Lululemon ambassador. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks, it's great to be here.
So glad to have you. Just to kind of, I know that you're pretty well known in the Charlotte community and SweatNet, but just wanted to touch on a couple things I think that people should know about you that they may not already know. One is you're a wife and a mom of three, and your kids are all under the age of six.
It's crazy. Yeah. And then just having them home for the past couple weeks has been even more crazy, but
Yeah, that's a whole nother job, right?
Wanted them all to be close because it just makes it harder but easier to manage and allowing them to be friends, hopefully, for a long time.
You know? Oh, yeah. No, I think it creates that close bond that they'll always have. So that's amazing. Yeah. And then you're also a certified personal trainer and you have training. You're offering training on Zoom right now, mm-hmm. which is important for everyone to know, but also you actually train out of your home. Is that correct?
Yes. So actually, like in the past 6 months, probably I finally made the transition to like leaving home and moving into like a semi-temporary space. And in that whole transition, I had some things happen that created the need for me to start looking for my own space. And I got literally all the way through a leasing process in January before I found out that my lease got rejected because of parking concerns with a grocery store tenant. And I thought my world was over because I didn't know where to go at that point with all my clients. And then COVID happened. So I'm like,
that's what everybody says. And then COVID happened.
That means now we're all virtual. So we found somewhere to go and we were doing temporary things until then, but now we're all making it work. So it's actually been a journey, but a good journey.
Yeah, it's been amazing to see how people have pivoted and what's come out of that. And it sounds like that has very much happened for you with your training and your business. Well, going from that, just some other interesting things, and you and I have talked about this a good bit already, but you were a college athlete.
Yes.
And yep. I can't wait for us to get into that because for those of you who don't know, it's really interesting. And it's not, I think a lot of people would already assume that it would just be running, but it's more than that. And I would like to actually, let's just go ahead and jump right into that. So as a college athlete, what was your, you know, first of all, you had said that you, from what I know, you had walked on. And what exactly, what sport was that that you walked on to?
Hold on. So basically I've gone from like running 80 feet down a strip of Mondo turf to running on all different surfaces for hours at a time. My journey has been crazy. So pole vault is a completely different type of event that started with running shorter distances and kind of evolved because I just ran into the right people at the right time and had the best coach that I still really have a good relationship with. So again, like opportunity presented itself and it just really went from there.
Now, how did you, as far as getting started in that, was that something that you worked on in high school and then, you know, or was kind of what's the story with that? So you know, you're in track and all of a sudden you go to college, you end up being a pole vaulter and a really good one.
My high school coach was a runner at Virginia Tech and that's where I ended up at school. He was a cross country runner and it was a sport, essentially when we were doing like our district and our regional championships, our high school track team was having trouble competing with some of the local schools because they were just like piling on these massive amount of points in pole vault because there was like only one school that had it. So they would get like one through eighth place and score all the points. And then that would destroy any chance of us winning any title at all. So I mean, you think about it and it's really not that big of a deal to win a district championship, but when you're in it and you're in high school and you're like a parent, it is. So he decided that he would start a pole vault program as a cross country coach. And he reached out to the Virginia Tech pole vault coach who at the time and still is a volunteer coach. So he was about 30 minutes southwest of where I'm from. So he would drive up like once a week and he and I met there And he basically was like, you're going to be a good pole vaulter. You just need the supplies. So like you need the commitment of equipment, which is expensive in pole vault. So you need poles, you need mats, you need like all the things that like can develop a pole vaulter and help them jump higher. And then you need to just focus on one thing. So like, instead of being a 200 meter runner, 400 meter runner, pole vaulter, long jumper, relay runner, like just do pole vault and let's see what happens, you know? So I ended up there walking on at Virginia Tech. He basically told me, he was like, I'll get you into school, which I could have already gotten into school, but he was essentially like, you're going to get in, you're going to come to practice on the first day, you know, whatever. And from there, I basically came in jumping like 10 feet as a senior in high school. And I graduated jumping like almost 13 feet. So in a matter of like 4.5 years, I was able to jump almost 3 feet higher, which in pole vault is, I mean, think about that's like the height of my kid. You know what I mean? Like, that's significant.
Yeah, I was going to say, that puts it in real perspective. The height of your kid is like how far along you came through that journey. So was it something that you loved immediately, or did you just like, or did you grow to love it?
I liked it because I was good at it. So I was like, oh, whatever. Like I can place at states. Like I'm good at it. So, you know, whenever you're like good at something, you tend to like gravitate towards it. I liked all the different aspects of it though. So like, not only were you expected to be fast, but you had to be able to jump high, and then you had to be able to like have strength at the same time in a different way, like a gymnastics type strength, rather than just really focusing on like one thing. It was like every day we were doing something different, which I think is one of the reasons why it kind of kept me interested in it for so long.
So when you, and I want to just go back to, and you were talking about you had to learn some gymnastic skills. Had you already, and what I mean by that is like, you know, did you have to learn to tumble, or what kind of things did you already have mastered, or is this stuff that you had to, never. Or you had to learn this?
Like, so like there are like never did gymnastics bring up, and there's a distinct difference between a pole vaulter who has done gymnastics and has never been a runner, and then a runner who has never done gymnastics and learns to do gymnastics. So basically like body awareness is so important in pole vault, and a lot of that just happens through gymnastics naturally, because you're just not afraid of where your body is in space, where most adults are actually afraid of where their body is in space if they don't feel like they have control. So my coach actually had done some gymnastics too. His daughter was in gymnastics when we started, but gymnastics was like a very big piece of our training. And it's basically like humble city for me, because between me and one other girl, we were basically like, if you haven't ever done gymnastics, like back hip circles. So you're on a uneven bar and you have to bring your feet up and then swing backwards around and come back to start. Could not do that whatsoever. He would literally stand behind me and like whip his hand up and hit my feet as hard as he could when I came around. And I can't tell you how long it took me to get to a point where he was like, you got it. Like, you got to just trust me, before I could finally get around. And like, now I can do it. Now I can do it. Like, I can do it as an adult now, but just teaching myself as a 20-year-old versus teaching myself as a 5-year-old is a lot different, you know?
It so is. Like, learning anything at this point as an adult is such a challenge. And you're right. Gymnastics is not just like something you just automatically pick up and do. It requires a lot of faith and a lot of fearlessness. So to be able to do that at 20 is pretty amazing.
Well, and I think a lot of it too is like embarrassment, right? As adults. So we're all like, I don't want to go try that, because like everyone's going to be better than me. But again, like in that situation for me, it was like, I don't want to do that, but like, I literally have no choice, and everyone is going to be better than me, but that's like no choice of mine, you know? So I don't know if that helped me going forward with being in situations where I'm new and just like ripping the Band-Aid off and being like, you know what, I'm probably not going to be great at this, but whatever. You know what I mean?
No, I think it's awesome that you had that experience, because like, for sure, you know, that when you face something new, and even like the time we're in right now and all the new challenges that come with that, I'm sure doing that at 20 has like really impacted you where you are right now.
Yeah.
So it's awesome how like the things that we go through, like it preps us for, you know, moments down the road.
Yeah.
So I want to go right into the next question I have for you. So because I know that you're into the obstacle course, the races and Spartan and all of that. When you pick an event like that, or somebody picks an event like that, or a marathon, is it important just to stick to training specifically for that particular event? So like, is it important to just stick to, if I'm running a marathon, is it just important for me to stick to just running, or, you know, for obstacle race, just to obstacles? So what's your take on that?
As somebody progresses in their training, the more that they increase their distance and their time on them to spend truly training for that event. So if you're like, I'm going to run a 5K, your approach is going to be completely different than if you're running a marathon. If you're doing an obstacle course race that's short course versus long course, where you might be out there for like, literally, I have people who take like 7 hours to do some of these races, then like your training needs to be different than someone who's doing a short race. I think the biggest thing is, in general though, continuing to maintain strength training and mobility, and then also some, you know, some sort of stretch or whatever that looks like maintenance wise for you. If you go see a physical therapist like once a month or whatever, just to kind of check your alignment, that's going to work for everybody. So like someone who's doing a 5K doesn't necessarily have to stick to a plan per se to really get to 3 miles. They can be pretty flexible with their plan, but someone who is running a marathon needs to be more like, I'm actually training for this event and it's going to take me like weeks to get to the place I need to get to, months to get to the place I need to be able to complete it and not feel completely horrible by the time that they're done.
And I think that's a great way to address it. I think there's questions for people that are just now getting into, you know, whether it's somebody that's just started working out and are looking to start an event. And then you have those that have been doing events forever and now are pushing them to the next level. So I think that really kind of addresses all of us.
And I think when you put yourself through it, it's like, I actually ran a marathon for the first time since having my third child this year, and I hadn't done that in a long time. And I think for me to put myself through that, just to remind myself like what I'm asking my clients to do, was really important, because your mindset completely changes when you get to a certain point. And it's just like having a respect for each level of your training and understanding where you started to where you're going to be is really important.
I agree with that. Well, the next question I want to go right into is, I know just from the little bit of conversation we've had that giving back is really important to you. And how have you been able to combine that with your love for fitness?
Several ways. Like, I feel like it's new, this whole like, and I don't know how this will change going forward. It hasn't yet, but group fitness has evolved so much in a boutique setting where we've done flywheel rides. So I am an instructor at Flywheel. They do charity rides. So we'll bring a charity in. I volunteer to do group led workouts where 100% of the proceeds will go to a charity or whatever that choice is. Right now in COVID, we just did the 6-foot 5K with Sweatnet, and we're doing the 6-foot 10K with Sweatnet, where the proceeds are going to charity. So I try and pick like 3 or 4 different charities that mean something to me somehow a year. And this year it's kind of evolved again. Like, I didn't expect to be doing this 6-foot 5K, but we're doing it, and we're doing it for competing across America. And then also like Beers and Burpees is this year. And that's been a good charity for me to get involved with because of the fitness factor and meeting like athletes and helping kids live their dreams through sports, through movement. And I think that's really great. So you're going to be doing your event. And I think all of that is just, it's just great to be able to do something with movement.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's cool when you can combine it and, you know, and you're impacting your community and people are getting healthier too that way. Like, it's multi, like you're hitting multi levels with it because it's bringing the community together. People are getting in shape, and it's just a fun way to impact and improve those lives around us. And I share that same passion as you do, especially when it comes to connecting and collaborating and working together to make hear a better place.
Yeah.
So this kind of rolls into my next question for you is, how did you, because this kind of goes back, I'm kind of taking us back to your athlete days, and then you're a trainer and you're a top run coach. How did you become such a good coach? Like, what do you feel like really helped you become a good coach?
It's probably a number of things. I think I've been surrounded by some really supportive and good coaches throughout my training. And I honestly just really respect people and their ability to take on like whatever it is they're searching for, whether it's the actual event itself or just like a feeling of pride or proud for themselves. I think sometimes like we get confused in our training and as being coaches of what somebody's real goal is. So is it really that they want to run or qualify for Boston, or is that like a superficial goal that they think will make them feel better, but really won't? So I think all the people that I train, I have a really good relationship with. We check in at least once a week. If I don't see them once a week, so they'll either come to class or they'll call me and just tell me how the week went. I have some people who don't really care about that at all. But for the most part, like we all have a lot going on. And I think I've already talked to you about a little bit, like we all have to kind of adjust to like a bad day sometimes and a bad week and not having, the ability to do something because we have kids or we have work or whatever it is. So understanding that about people too is really important for me.
So with that said, what would you, if somebody is looking like, you know, fitness is such a big industry. It's growing fast. I feel like it's one of the fastest industries that's growing. If there's somebody that's wanting to pursue being a coach, what would you, you know, what advice would you give them?
I think the biggest thing for me has been one, how long it took me probably to get to a point where people understood where my value was, because I think right now there's so much in fitness that's like very cheap, and then there's so much in fitness that's very expensive, and then there's all the stuff in the middle that's like unlimited this, and you can't even manage like what's happening. So I think the biggest thing I do is literally sit down with someone and be like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And we like start there, and we're like, what do you like to do? What do you have to do this week that's going to fill your cup at least two or three times a week? So we make sure we don't take that away from somebody, but I kind of like organize their week for them around whatever they have going on. So if they're traveling and they need a workout to do in a hotel, or if they're traveling and they like to go to SoulCycle while they're in New York, like we make sure they get to SoulCycle. But like the hardest thing for me, I think, was just getting to a point where people actually understood the value of having somebody literally sit down and be like, how did your week go? Did you get to do the things that were on your schedule? Like, what do we need to change this week to make sure that you're successful the following week, you know?
So really taking personal interest in someone and taking time and not just treating them like they're a number.
Yeah. And I think it's important for anybody to just understand their intention in going into the fitness business, because there's a lot of money for some people in fitness. So like, I can see why money would be something really that would draw somebody there for sure. Mm-hmm. But then there's also a lot of people who don't make a lot of money doing it, you know? And so money isn't what it's all about. They're excited about just helping somebody improve, and they just aren't worried about that stuff. So I think really understanding like what you want to see and how you want to help people and how you can serve yourself at the same time. Because I think even in fitness too, we get into this where we're like, okay, we don't understand our own value. So as a trainer, like for me, like what is my value? What should I be charging? Is this enough for me? Is it worth my time? Oh, I'll just give this for free. And then you have your friends who are like, hey, can I just get a workout from you? And you're like, but this is my job. People pay me for this, and you're asking me to give it to you for free. So I think like managing all of that too, just to serve yourself as a trainer, is really important, because we tend to give a lot more sometimes when we're not careful with paying attention to what we actually get back from things, you know?
Yeah, I really appreciate what you're saying. And I think that speaks volumes about the people that are in fitness and are in this industry. And this is their job. This is their livelihood. And at the same time, yes, they want to help people, but they also, like, they do bring value. And so I think that's a wonderful way to put it, is knowing your value. And there are going to be times when you have to say no. And that's hard. Hard.
When it's hard too, as someone new, because you think of everything like an opportunity where you're like, maybe if I let them only pay me this amount, then like they'll introduce me to somebody who, and you're like constantly trying to like validate or justify like why it's okay when it probably is not, you know?
No, absolutely. Okay. So we're going to move from here, and this is kind of a fun question. This certainly isn't serious. I don't want to say what necessarily you're known for, but like more or less like when you are either, because for me, I told you this, like I know I'm in zone and people know I'm in zone if I have my Beats on. So like that's my jam, or a hoodie. If I'm wearing a hoodie and I have my Beats on, like I'm all in zone, I'm game on, I'm serious about what I'm doing. So what is that for you?
In zone right now. It's so funny to talk about this. Right. We talked about this and then look at me today.
I know. That's it right there.
it's a hazmat version, but yeah, like when I'm at a race or an event, I would say the biggest thing that people will notice first if they see me running, not only is the way that I run, because I still try to run like I did when I did pole vault, but also my hair, because I always have it pulled back in a braid. Else I get like this monster bomb of like knotted hair. So if you see me running, you usually see the like TikTok of my hair ponytail going back and forth.
And that's how we know that you're serious and you're in zone.
And that's where you're like, oh, there's Jen. Yeah. Me running down the road on my toes and my braids flipping around, and you know that's me running.
That's awesome. Yeah, I always love to ask that. It's kind of like, what's your favorite jam or favorite song? It's the same thing about if somebody wears something. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I love music. It definitely drives me, but it's all different types. Whenever people are like, what's your favorite song to listen to? I'm like, it doesn't matter, really, as long as it's a song.
It just keeps you moving.
Yeah.
Okay, so just to kind of end things and wrap things up, because I really appreciate you being on and being the first guest for this, and I know that you're going to inspire a lot of women who are listening and who will hear this. Is there anything else that you want to share? Is there anything else that you just feel compelled to share with all of us?
I think the biggest thing right now in this current environment is to always keep looking forward, because I was literally in tears, like in January, sitting in my shower, like what is happening? And it's like, I've been in my own little playground right now. Just like being able to try all these different pieces of equipment that weren't there before, because here we are in this environment that is just so different. So keep moving forward, and keep moving forward once you move forward, because even where I'm at now, which I feel is like a really good place, is not going to be sustainable. So really, like, I'm getting comfortable, which is making me feel uncomfortable, if that makes sense. So I know when I get too comfortable that like I need to keep moving forward.
I totally agree with that. I feel the same way. And just being willing to pivot and keep going.
Yeah.
And not stop. Well, I just want to thank you again for being on. It's Sweatnet Strong Women Podcast. I'm excited about this being launched and excited to share. Where can everyone find you? If they want more information about you, where's the best, best place
for them? This is where you're going to insert a subtitle so you can spell my last name. www.jenduffrene.com. Or I'm on Instagram too, at jen.w.dufresne. Uffresne. We're running the Sweatnet 6-foot 10K now. So if anyone wants to do that race, I have a walking pace. So even if someone just wants to walk outside and listen to me talk to them, that's
awesome. There. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, and we encourage everyone to do that. And you can sign up for that just by going to sweatnet.com. Yep. You can also go to Instagram at sweatnetcharlotte to find out more about Sweatnet, what's going on, how you can get involved. We ask that you share this with your friends
and
other women that might need a boost or be encouraged or inspired. We ask that you share this. You can follow me. My name is Seal Smart. It's at @itsealsmart on Instagram. And then also I'll be hosting the Be Amazing Weekend, which is an all women's weekend here in Charlotte on October 16th and 17th. There's so much information on it. I can't even get into all of that, but you can go to the Be Amazing Weekend Facebook page. You can also visit us at beamazingweekend.com for more information. I thank you again, Jen, for joining us. And so look forward to our next episode on the Sweatnet Strong Women podcast.